What does it mean to be a disciple? Hi, I'm Jordan Sullivan, the minister of music here at Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama, and we're in a series looking at how we can be committed disciples of Jesus Christ by following His Great Commission together as a church family. Our prayer is that in this season you will find greater communion with God, greater community with your fellow disciples, and greater commitment to Jesus' Great Commission. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to day 13 of A Disciple of Christ, a season of commitment. Today's devotion is titled, Jesus Came for Sinners. Robert Mounts once wrote, "The healthy were the Pharisees who saw themselves as having no need, although their true condition was quite the opposite. The sick were the outcasts who recognized their need for healing." Our text for today is from Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Matthew 9:9 through 13 shares Jesus' calling of Matthew, a tax collector. This leads directly into Jesus' declaration that he came to save sinners. Stuart Weber's comments are extremely enlightening. On chapter 9, verse 9, Weber writes, "Matthew showed Jesus violating a cultural taboo by associating with a tax collector. The Roman Empire's practice was to recruit tax collectors from among the people they had conquered. These natives worked for the hated oppressor. This made them traitors and outcast among their countrymen. But it was common practice for tax collectors to demand more from their countrymen than was actually due in order to line their own pockets. If the people refused to pay, the tax collector had the threat of the Roman military to back him up. Tax collectors in general were known for their greed and lack of conscience, so they were thought of as the lowest form of humanity. Not only did Jesus speak to such a vile sinner, but he invited Matthew, a tax collector, to become one of his closest followers. Implied here is the ultimate in forgiveness and unconditional acceptance. Matthew's conscience must have been in torment for him to accept the Master's invitation to spiritual cleansing and restoration, giving up the wealth and privilege of his position. Then in verses 10 and 11, Jesus proceeded to violate the cultural standards of acceptable behavior even further by visiting Matthew's home and by eating with him and many of his tax collector friends, as well as many other sinners. Eating together was the deepest form of social intimacy. Normally, no sinner was welcome at a righteous man's table, and no righteous man would consider eating at a sinner's table. Jesus had no such misgivings. He displayed his unconditional acceptance and impartiality by participating in this meal. the Pharisees did not address Jesus directly. Perhaps they were trying to use the disciples' limited understanding to drive a wedge between them and Jesus. Their use of the title teacher may have been sarcastic. It was generally assumed that such a righteous man as a Jewish teacher would refrain from associating with society's undesirables. Their question was mocking and critical. Then, in verses 12 and 13, when he became aware of the question, Jesus rose to confront the hypocrites and their self-righteousness with righteous indignation. Jesus portrayed himself here in the context of so many healing miracles as a doctor for the human spirit. He defended his lack of association with the Pharisees, the healthy, by alluding to the fact that they saw no need for spiritual healing in themselves. He was not implying that the Pharisees were righteous, but only that they saw themselves that way, and so were not open to receiving his healing, his forgiveness. It is safe to read some irony into Jesus' use of the word healthy in referring to the Pharisees. Jesus also defended his association with the tax collectors and sinners by their own self-awareness regarding their spiritual illness, sin, and their hunger for his healing, forgiveness. Also implied in Jesus' words was an affirmation of the basic equality of all people, a truth the Pharisees failed to grasp. This basic lack of understanding is why they needed to go and learn the lesson of Hosea 6, verse 6. This Old Testament passage does not belittle sacrifice, but it elevates right treatment of the poor above it. By quoting the Old Testament, which the Pharisees knew well, Jesus shamed his opponents by confronting their misunderstanding of the spirit of the Lord's word. The word sacrifice here represents all the religious motions and rituals the Pharisees observed that were meaningless and empty, but accompanied by a heart after God, particularly a heart of mercy and compassion. Righteous deeds take on positive significance before God. Jesus was not blind to the faults of the sinners with whom he dined, but his mercy caused him to withhold judgment. The Pharisees had no right to exercise judgment since they were just as sinful themselves. They should have been the first to withhold judgment and accept the other sinners. But in their pride, they were unmerciful, demonstrating they had no understanding of Jesus. Finally, Jesus clarified his physician analogy by saying, "For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Again, we can read some sarcasm and irony into his use of the word righteous when referring to the Pharisees. They were not truly righteous, but they saw themselves as such. Thus, they were not willing to accept his forgiveness and respond to his call. The sinners, on the other hand, were aware of their sin and hungered for forgiveness. They responded to his call to true discipleship. Jesus' disciples were not perfect, but they accepted his forgiveness with humility and moved on toward maturity. As we live committed to following Christ, may we emulate his mercy and compassion for sinners. Some questions to consider. In what ways are you a blessed byproduct of the type of person Jesus came to save? Why should your answer to that question give you more than enough reasons to want to show mercy to others. And finally, in what ways are you tempted to be like the Pharisees of Jesus' day? Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.